fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
And Tuesday, the last waiver wire show of the season. Welcome to Week 17. The Cowboys thump the Detroit Lions. And you know, fellas, the good teams are looking pretty damn good right now. Just talking NFL here. How about the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Packers, the Cowboys? The contenders are shining right now.
Falcons, too.
Falcons are good, yeah. A little dark horse there.
Yeah, Seahawks, not so much. Giants,
Nah, they're not that good.
Nah, I'm going to say no. Poor Raiders, man.
That stinks.
Big hit for the Raiders. Texans don't look so good. Steelers look great. It's really more like Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown look great.
let's do power rankings. Give me your top three AFC teams.
Patriots have to be number one.
Patriots one.
Chiefs have to be number two.
Steelers two.
Really? I'll take the Chiefs. I'll take the Steelers third.
I'll take the Chiefs third.
The Chiefs are really interesting with Tyreek Hill. It gives them a dimension that they have not had in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they need Justin Houston healthy.
Yeah.
And they need to win on the road.
Yeah.
And let's just keep in mind, this is the same team that lost to the Titans at home 2 weeks ago.
You can't put the team with a quarterback who sucks on the road number two.
You can. When they're better than the quarterback.
I guess you can.
When they're better than the quarterback who generally sucks almost everywhere he plays.
Okay, so that's the your AFC power rankings. Give me your NFC power rankings, top three.
I'll take the Packers one.
Yeah.
I really will. I know it sounds crazy, but I'll take the Packers one, and I'll take the Cowboys two and the Falcons 2B.
I'll take the Cowboys two and the Seahawks three.
The Packers...
Got to beat them first.
Did the Packers clinch? No, right?
No.
No.
No, the Packers...
We've got a...
No, they did not clinch.
They did not clinch. They do have a potentially win or go home game Sunday night against Detroit.
Right. If the Giants win, then the Packers and the Lions are in.
Right, right. So the Redskins are the important team for the Packers. The Redskins win, and then that Packers game means even more on Sunday night. So, yeah, that's exciting. Green Bay,
and
Detroit.
The Giants have nothing to play for.
Well, I expect the Detroit to play better on Sunday night than they did last night. And I'm hopeful. Okay. Welcome to the show. Who is going to sit this week? Before we get to like the, you know, Doug Martin, Kenneth Farrow news, just the teams that have locked up a spot, that would be Pittsburgh, Houston as the 3 and 4 in the AFC, the Giants as the 5, the Cowboys as the 1. Who do you guys think will be sitting this week, or maybe just partially sitting, but not someone that fantasy owners should be starting?
At the very least, everyone from all four of those teams will partially sit.
I don't think the Steelers play Roethlisberger, Bell, or Brown, because there's a report that already said that.
Right. Which is a change from the past with them, by the way.
You think what happened to them last year in their first playoff game. Why would you risk it in a meaningless game?
I agree. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying in the past that they sure play their starters into at least the second quarter.
The Giants may play a quarter. Eli's going to start because he's not going to break his streak of consecutive games played.
Right, so but it'll be like the fourth preseason game.
Right. My guess is Beckham plays a little bit, and Jennings probably a little bit, if at all. The one that I'm concerned with is Perkins.
Yeah.
And then the Cowboys, they'd be stupid to play anybody.
But they might.
Well, they said Dak's going to start next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, didn't they? Smart.
He won't play much. You got to figure.
He shouldn't play at all.
Either way, maybe he comes in, hands the ball off a few times. But McFadden might be in play this week.
Yep. Alfred Morris could be in play too.
Yeah, Lamar Miller probably won't be.
This is going to be a horrible week for people whose championships are decided in week 17. You've got guys like Le'Veon Bell and Ezekiel Elliott.
I think it's actually better than we've had in years, though.
No, I disagree. I think this is actually worse than it's been in years.
I don't know.
Because not only do you have those teams,
but
Adam,
you know the guys who are going to play and not play. It's not like last year with Kirk Cousins?
Right.
Where we didn't think he was going to play. He comes in and throws three touchdowns in the first quarter.
And a half. It might not have even been a half. It was a quarter. Yeah, it's true. But you don't know. You assume the Patriots will play a full game. If they're blowing out the Dolphins, you know you're going to see Jimmy Garoppolo play.
You have what happened to them last week.
Right.
Yeah. Now, that's a really big game for seeding purposes, the Dolphins-Patriots game. I think it's kind of the, I don't know, quasi-ironic part. It's the one team that you fear the most if you play in Week 17 of not being able to start your guys is the Patriots, and they have to win to lock up the one seed. So at least you're probably going to get production from your Patriots. All right, let's get into the waiver wire here. But first, the rest of the news that you need to know. Doug Martin's going to be inactive, according to Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. That, I was going to ask you guys later in the show what you thought about him being inactive last week, but now it seems he's going to be inactive again. What's your take on this whole general situation with Doug Martin and the Bucs?
Either he's hurt to the point where the coaches think he can't contribute, or there's something going on behind the scenes where the coaches don't like what he's doing.
Or he just sucks.
And he won't be, well, I mean, that could also tie into the other thing with the coaches. Maybe he's done as a Buck.
Oh, they just signed him, 4-year deal.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Things happen.
Rick also was tweeting last night that he doesn't expect this situation to impact Martin's status for next year.
Oh, you really? Okay.
That's what he said. I'm just telling you.
So it's more of an injury thing.
No, it's more of they don't trust him right now.
But next year they'll go back to him.
But they're not cutting him.
Okay.
So.
Oh, it was a 5-year deal for Doug Martin, not a 4-year deal. I apologize. But still, a good amount of money. Melvin Gordon, still day to day, but Kenneth Farrow out with a shoulder injury. So now who the heck is going to be the running back for San Diego?
You know who.
Your favorite player of all time, Adam.
Andre Williams.
Wait a minute. What about Ronnie Hillman?
Well, he's obviously the guy, but yeah. Andre Williams is on their practice squad, so they're going to call him up.
Gordon is 3 yards shy of 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he might play, right?
I mean, they're calling him day-to-day. But this is a problem because he's one of their best young players, a building block for the future.
Why he's not 100%. If he's not 100%, there's no way that he should be out.
And I'll tell you what, even if he is 100%, I wouldn't let him play a lot. I'd let him get the 1,000 yards, maybe score a touchdown, and then he takes a seat.
Okay, Bill O'Brien did not commit to using Lamar Miller, so you might be going for Alfred Blue this week at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Paxton Lynch likely to start, according to 9 News Denver. Keep in mind, if you need a DST, I don't know that you want to trust Oakland, but Lynch was sacked 6 times in his only start this year by Atlanta. There's a lot of good DSTs out there. So.
Oakland's a great DST.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Okay. And Jay Gruden said that Jordan Reed and DeSean Jackson are day-to-day. Is it safe to assume that DeSean Jackson has a better chance of playing than Jordan Reed?
Yes.
Yeah, he has a jaw injury.
Yeah. And they said it was just precautionary when they took him out, so... That's a huge game for the Redskins. They need to win to stay alive, and not a big game at all for the Giants. So, you know, we were talking off the air. I think the Redskins could put up 35 points. If anybody rests on the Giants, it's more likely, in my opinion, to be players on defense. They got a bunch of banged-up players on defense. It could be a huge game for your Redskins. Is that what you guys see as well?
Yes. Yep, they're at home. The Giants have nothing to play for. The Giants don't care. And Washington does have something to play for. This is an obvious spot for Washington's offensive players.
Yeah, but will Rob Kelly be one of those offensive players?
He's banged up too.
Yep. So who do you think would get the bulk of the work if Kelly does not play?
Thompson and Matt Jones. I don't know. Do they go to Jones or do they keep Mac Brown in there?
I would keep Mac Brown in there. Why would you go back to Jones?
A lot of waiver wire running back options. We'll sort them out. We got... You know, D'Angelo Williams, Alex Collins, Alfred Blue, as we mentioned, the Redskins situation. So we'll get to all that. How did you guys do? How was your fantasy football championship weekend? I will say, a little disappointed. I only won one league. It was a good year, not 6 playoff teams out of 9, but only one championship. And a stat correction will change that, as we all know.
No, 7 yards, buddy.
7 yards, that's all you need?
Yeah.
Well, what are you talking about?
Tyreek Hill. I went into my championship game with Adam in the FFT League, down 16 points to tie, 17 to win. Tyreek Hill has 100 yards and a touchdown going into the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter. Then he had a 7-yard loss. Mm-hmm. So knocked it down.
To under 100
yards.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, terrific. That's great news.
So then, what I had the tiebreaker on Adam. So I would
have the won. Higher seed.
I was. I don't. For whatever reason, it was total yards was the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Reserves total yards. So I had the tiebreaker on Adam, and I would have beaten him. And so I lost based on the 7 yard loss.
7 yard loss. Yeah.
And he couldn't. And it's PPR league. He had about 3 passes hit him in the hands.
Right. Yeah.
And he dropped them all.
And you started Drew Brees in that league. I'm looking at it right now. Drew Brees threw for 299 yards. Yep. So he's 1 yard shy of going to 18 points instead of 7.
I also, luckily, it worked out.
How many people right now are screaming, use decimals? Like Heath is probably listening saying use decimals.
It worked out in my favor. I made a bunch of waiver wire moves because it had AJ Green and going back and forth on a few different guys. I chose the wrong one in Dontrell Inman over Stephon Diggs and Tyrell Williams, who I cut.
So how many championships, guys? How'd we do? Jamie?
0. Ofer.
What?
Yeah, first time.
How many finals were you in?
I was in 5.
Oh my gosh, that is terrible luck.
Yeah, happens though.
Well, not really.
It's tough to lose 5 contests. Wow.
Well, it happens to other people when you lose your championship.
I mean, I feel terrible.
Why?
It's because it's going to eat at you all off season long.
No, I did the best things I could do with my teams. I mean,
did you start the best possible lineup in all 5 of your leagues? I mean, we know you didn't against Adam.
No, I mean, I did. There were things I probably could have changed, but I don't have any regrets with the lineups I set.
All right.
I lost.
I'm sorry, man.
It's okay, buddy.
That hurts. Well, you can share with me. I had 2 first place finishes.
No, I take your money in daily leagues every week, so it's good.
I take somebody else's, so somehow it's okay. I won 2 of my leagues, including a league that I've been in with people who past and present work at CBS Sports. And
it's you dominate that league.
My 6th title in that league since 2001. And it was my 3rd straight year in the final, and I've won 2 of the last 3 years.
Woo. What about IDP? Did you win IDP?
I did not win the IDP league. I lost to David Ganos. David Ganos kicked my butt. And it's okay. It's okay. It gives me a goal for next year. I'll tell you what else is I had a nice run in the podcast league this year.
Good.
In the playoffs, Chris and I, Chris D, because I don't know how to say his last name, but my cheeseburger loving friend. We split the team. We made the playoffs, and we didn't quite make it all the way. But I've got a goal next year to win the IDP league and win the podcast league.
Okay,
very very exciting. And I finished in 3rd in our 24 team office league.
Which Who won that?
I'm not sure. I actually think it was our sales duo of Matt Goodrow and Jeremy Bash.
I think it's Bash. And they listen to our podcast, so.
All right, so we don't know how to say your last name. You only sit next to me, Jeremy. So he literally sits in the seat next to me at the office. Have no idea how to say his last name.
I think it's Batch, like a batch of cookies. Well, that's how I say it.
I'll ask him next time I see him, which will be next year.
Okay. Jeremy, how many finals were you in, Dave?
3.
3.
So 167%.
Good for you. Okay, well, look, it was a good year for us. You know, we'll
discuss. Wait. What about you?
Oh, I only won 1 out of 9 leagues, but like I said, I was in 2 finals, 6 playoffs, and I think what comforts me a little bit is I went down swinging in the playoffs in a lot of the leagues. Like I lost in the flex league. I lost to Le'Veon Bell that 1 week in the first round of the playoffs. I had the 2nd most points in the league, and everybody was playing because there were consolation games. In the charity league, the one I really wanted to win, I had a huge week and I lost to Drew Brees when he played at Arizona in the semifinals. And I had a big week in the 2 quarterback league, pretty big week, but lost to Will, who had Le'Veon Bell and Travis Kelce. So not going to say it was bad luck or anything like that. Just I put up good performances. But I have a theory about why I had a good year but not a great year, and we will talk about that tomorrow. It's a bit of a strategy thing, and I want to know what you guys think about it. So let's go to our waiver wire priorities. Who are the priorities for Fantasy Week 17, guys?
A lot of running backs.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of them. As always, this time of year comes down to what you need and what holes you have in your lineup. I would imagine that a lot of people have running back holes to fill because there's either a running back who's hurt, will be inactive, or isn't going to play a lot. And I believe Jamie and I are going to disagree on the number one guy to get. I like Alex Collins the best of the Seahawks because he's taking on San Francisco. I love the matchup. He's a hard runner. I think he's going to get a big opportunity with Seattle. And I think he's the number one guy for me this week.
I like Alex Collins. I don't know if Alex Collins will be a starter, though, because Thomas Rawls is not ruled out. So I like D'Angelo Williams the best, but I like two other guys of the same caliber, Alfred Blue and Darren McFadden. I think all three guys are going to start. I think all three guys have fantastic matchups given their circumstances. And I like those three better than Alex Collins, who's fourth for me.
Well, do you think that McFadden has a great matchup at Philadelphia? Because I think they're also going to rest some of their offensive line, including Tyron Smith.
Sure, but their second string offensive line is still pretty good too.
And I'll tell you what, like, an argument will be made for how much playing time the backup running backs will get in these games. Like D'Angelo Williams, Darren McFadden, they've been in the league a long time. They know what they're doing. They've been on their teams for a long time. What's the point of putting them out there? Both of those players haven't played a lot lately. So giving them reps and getting them fresh. Yeah, but still, like, in comparison to most other backup running backs, I think they could get a decent amount of work. I'd figure a minimum of 10 touches each.
Yeah, or it could be like workhorse work too. I mean, that's a match.
Could also be like that.
Well, that's the Steelers' MO. So that's why I like D'Angelo the best. I think they'll run it into the ground.
Yeah. And if Rawls does not play, they don't have anybody other than Alex Collins, right?
Right.
As of now.
Yeah. Well, nobody that they're going to just trust necessarily. And that is an important game for the Seahawks. They do have playoff seeding on the line, right?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So, okay. I mean, there are some really good options here also.
And that's just a running back, Adam.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Wide receiver, there's plenty there. There's Adam Thielen.
Hold on. I know Jamie said Alfred Blue. Did you guys say Jacquizz Rodgers?
Yeah, he's, I think, fifth.
Okay. All right.
Tough matchup.
Who else? Wide receivers. Go ahead, Dave. Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen just had a huge game. He's not going to do that against Chicago, but he's still going to get a lot of targets. This is what I was hoping for 2 weeks ago when he got hurt in Minnesota's loss there. J.J. Nelson has been getting plenty of work. I think he scored in three straight games.
Four straight.
That's even better than three. Yeah. Marquise Lee going up against Indy. I think they're going to have no choice but to throw. Their running backs are banged up. T.J. Yeldon's on injured reserve. Chris Ivory might not go. So Marquise Lee and obviously Allen Robinson for those that are going to trust him in week 17.
They finally moved him around, stupid idiots.
But the one that I like the best is Cameron Meredith. And he's still available in two-thirds of CBS leagues. Yes, this week. Against Minnesota, playing out of the slot, he's still going to get a lot of targets.
Yeah, I think they make up for last week's mistake. That's another reason why Adam beat me, because the stupid Vikings cornerbacks didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah,
they're
Jordy
not going to make that mistake twice at home.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Receiver, but I don't think you put all your eggs in the basket again.
There are some good wide receiver options, and we'll kind of dive deeper into those. And so you like Cameron Meredith better than Adam Thielen, with Thielen facing the Bears and Meredith facing the Vikings?
I just love the workload that Meredith's been getting.
And you don't love the workload for Thielen?
I do. I like them both a lot. If I had to pick between the two, I'll pick the team that's going to trail in this game, and that's going to be Chicago.
Okay. Well, is there any other? Oh, Charles Clay. If you need a tight end, Charles Clay facing the Jets. He's scored in three straight games. He's been a little bit more involved. You know,
and it's the Jets.
Yeah, exactly. That,
this might be Rex Ryan's last game as a head coach.
Yeah, against his former team.
Against his former team, his players are still playing hard for him, despite really erratic play calling and weird play calling in overtime.
Right.
So I think Clay has just kind of settled into this big role in the offense, and I think he's going to be a factor. I think Dennis Pitta could be a factor too, by the way.
Do you guys like Tyrod Taylor this week? He's 81% on, so he might be out there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep,
for the same reason why you like Charles Clay.
Right. All right. Awesome. Just quick programming note. So this week, you know, not the easiest show to do in week 17. Because we want to keep it interesting for everybody. So we will, of course, do rankings, starter sit, all that stuff. We'll help you win if you're playing this week, and so many of you are. But also, we'll look ahead to next year. We'll talk about some important things, and we'll have off-season podcasts, at least one per week, every week during the off-season. And we look forward to that. And we have a Saturday night radio show. We need you to call in And we'll talk about whatever the heck you want to talk about on Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It is New Year's Eve, but hey, maybe you're driving around. 10 p.m. Eastern until midnight. So you out there on the West Coast, we're looking at you. Call us up on CBS Sports Radio. Listen on CBSSportsRadio.com or your local affiliate. Championship emails and tweets. And then we'll talk about last night's game and do more waiver wire stuff. And we have just a few team name Tuesdays. So here's a tweet from Tim. I lost my championship to Zach Zenner. Seriously. Hashtag Zennered.
Whoa. Somebody started Zenner in their final?
Right? Crazy.
I mean, it's got to be a deep league. Why yeah. else would you roll with Zenner?
Yeah. He's also on the waiver wire list. And Ryan Bodman said, 42 seconds left. Golden Tate just won a championship over a 12-1 team. Crazy drama. I think Tate had a 6-yard catch on the final, like the third to last play of the game, and that decided the championship.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Here's an email from RJ. He says, Dear Priest, Larry, and Jamal.
Chiefs running backs.
I would personally like to thank Dave Richard and the trade chart. I just won a league because in the middle of the season, I traded Tom Brady and Melvin Gordon for Ezekiel Elliott. I went 12-1 in the regular season and ended up meeting the guy I traded with in the finals. Zeke was the difference. As I am very inebriated and can't remember the name of Dave's mom's book, please plug it on the show so I can buy it for my friend who just had a child.
Oh, that's awesome. Naughty Nana. Yeah. It's a children's book. PalmCirclePress.com. Palm like the tree, circle like the shape, press like the bench.
There you go. Like the bench. This email's from Joey in a town that hates Antonio Brown.
It's got to be Baltimore.
Dear LeBron, Chris, with a K, Peyton, and Sydney. I'm guessing those are recent champions. Chris Bryant.
Could be.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess the Penguins won last year. Sure. I needed 20 points from Dez to clinch my first title, and I got him. Just want to thank you guys for the advice and the analysis this season. I would not have won my league or gotten through the workday without you. P.S., I have a bet with my friend to see who can get on the pod first, so feel free to slip this in. He just won the bet.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
nice.
Way to go, Joey, from Baltimore.
What do you think he won? What's the bet? Lunch?
Yeah, let's make it lunch. You just won lunch. Your friend owes you lunch. At a at least $10 lunch. Ethan says, it finally happened. Thanks to your advice, I finally won my league. To make my victory all the sweeter, I took down my dad and 3-time league champion in the championship matchup. Definitely the highlight of my year, and I got married on Thursday. Please don't tell my wife. We got some good emails here.
We're happy to consummate your fantasy league for you.
Ah, there you go. Dallas 42, Detroit 21. Jamie, any major takeaways in this one?
I love Dez Bryant going into the week, and he was awesome. The passing touchdown was just fantastic.
Yeah.
That was just Scott Linehan sticking it to his former team, I think.
Huh.
You got the championship game you're hoping for from the Cowboy Stars. Zeke was great. Dez was great. If you've been starting Jason Witten, he caught the touchdown from Dez. Dak was awesome. Actually played it in one of my finals, for our magazine league. Mike Payne of the Beckett publication that we work with. He started Dak Prescott over Tom Brady, you know, maybe with the fear of the rain in New England on Saturday.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is great.
Right, yeah, yeah. That's what you would have wanted.
And I lost because of Dak's performance as well. So, and then for the Lions, I think this sets up for a good performance from Stafford. You know, I would imagine, you know, he leaves everything on the table next week. And he had a monster game against the Packers the last time, so. You just saw Sam Bradford light up that defense. I think Stafford has a huge bounce back game.
Hmm. Two Zach Zenner angles to talk about. Number one, is he going to be good against Green Bay? This is the best I've seen Zach Zenner look.
Just of course.
The way that he started the game with all those 10-yard plays, the touchdowns, the
offensive
goal line
played well.
Offensive line played well.
For a half, guys. He had three rushing yards in the second half.
How many carries did he have?
Yeah, they went away from him for some reason. It was weird.
Because they don't really run the ball that well. But you're right. They did get away from him. I think after that interception, it changed everything. It kind of swung the game. Game was over after that.
Right. And, I mean, it's very possible that something similar could happen against the Packers. The Packers can get out to a 2-touchdown lead pretty quickly on the Lions, especially if D Darius Slay doesn't play, and you could see Zach Zenner fall out of the game plan again. But I thought he looked good. I thought he ran hard. And this is the first time in, like, probably over a month that the Cowboys' run defense didn't look good. And a lot of that might have to do with who they've played. Their last five opponents, Washington, Minnesota, New York, Tampa Bay, and now Detroit. And so they it's not like they faced any great run offenses. And no. I wonder if this is something that could be an Achilles heel of sorts for this team.
They haven't had a good run defense all year. They do well, they limit the yards because they have the ball all the time and they're playing ahead. But they're a little beat up on the defensive line too. So yeah, I mean the Eagles. I don't know Sproles, whoever it's going to be.
I think that's going to be the guy.
Should be Sproles. I mean, I don't know how much work they'll give Byron Maxwell. You know who's their number two guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they sign somebody else also.
Jamie, I don't know if I agree with you on Stafford just because he's had one good game in his last nine. It was good.
Oh, I don't know if he'll be fantastic fantasy-wise, but I would be shocked if he's awful.
Yeah, you know the difference. That first game, Marvin Jones, that was like his 200-yard game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
since then he's been miserable.
Where's he
been? I have Stafford ranked in my top 12. I think he's going to be a number one quarterback.
What happened to Marvin Jones? This is a really interesting, curious case. Not just him being bad, but him being completely useless for fantasy.
I wonder if he's hurt, or I wonder if he's just not that good.
Well, the second half of the season he was hurt,
right?
So that you have to take into account. But I think what happened was twofold. One, he's not that good. Two, really, really over exceeded everybody's expectations because you heard the talk in the preseason. I mean, we all bought in after seeing him perform. And then it was the early game. It was week two against, or week was two or three.
It was most of the early season.
Yeah, he was off to a great start.
What was the Packers game? Because he fell off the cliff.
I think that was week three.
Okay, so you got three good games out of him with one monster game. Mm-hmm. And then the complete fall off. In our podcast league, I traded him. I forget what week it was. I traded Marvin Jones, Rashad Jennings, and Charles Sims for Ezekiel Elliott and Sterling Shepard to a team that was really struggling.
Mm-hmm. What a trade. What a trade.
Yeah, in the end, it's a great trade. But yes. You sold high on Marvin Jones.
Right. And it's funny because I actually offered those two running backs and Amari Cooper.
Mm. Oh, and he said, no, I don't want Cooper. I want Marvin Jones.
I want Marvin Jones.
And I thought it was legit. I did. I really did.
I didn't think he would fall off the face of the earth like he did.
Right. You thought he'd be a 70, 80 yard guy and score every few games.
Sure.
But
yeah.
the other part of it is not that he's just not very good, is I think it's also they made such an effort. We have to get Golden Tate going. And they realized that Anquan Boldin could be still a threat for them. Forget about what he was fantasy wise. And that Eric Ebron went through the injury, not injury, got going, didn't get going. So it was just a whole big, I think they were just kind of in a feeling out process. And then they come to the conclusion, Marvin Jones can't beat additional coverage.
Yeah, he had a hard time with press coverage.
Well, it was a surprise. I thought he was legitimately breaking out. It did not happen. Golden Tate ends up being the better option after the hot start. And all right, we'll get into that big game, one of the biggest games of the week, the Sunday Nighter later on in the week. And you know what? Not too many of us are playing this week, but that's why Daily Fantasy exists. And now with the Draft app, you can play and you can draft as much as you want. Download the Draft app, use our promo code FFToday. You're going to get 100% bonus on up to $600 when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and use our promo code FFToday when you download Draft. The listeners kicked my butt this week, guys. I finished 7th out of 8 in our Fantasy Football Today contest. We'll do another one this week. I did beat Heath in our head-to-head, though, so it's fun. I mean, I'm doing head-to-heads. I'm doing big-time, bigger tournaments with 8 people, up to 10 people. You can compete against anywhere from 1 to 9 opponents, and you do a snake draft, and you draft 5 players. Nobody gets the same player. It's a little bit different than the other ones you've been doing, the other daily sites. You play the week out, and you win some money, or you can play for free if you want. But your chances of winning money on Draft are almost 3 times better than your chances of winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. So I really like it. I recommend it. It's so much fun. Download the Draft app. Use the promo code FFToday, and I will beat you this week. On to the waiver wire. First, your news and notes. TJ Yeldon's going to miss this week's game. Jacksonville claimed Daryl Richardson. You think Chris Ivory plays this week?
I didn't rank him. So not as of now.
No, but it's funny because the reports seem to indicate he will play. So there was an AP story that said Corey Grant will now share the load with Chris Ivory in place of TJ Yeldon. So we'll see. But given his track record, it's hard to count on him. If he does play, he's a great start.
Dante Moncrief, you think he plays this week?
No.
No.
Bryce Petty's out. Derek Carr out 6 to 8 weeks. The Texans are sticking with Tom Savage. Carlos Hyde won't need surgery on his MCL. That's good news, but he's obviously going to miss this week's game. Do you expect the following players? Robert Griffin III?
No.
Thomas Rawls? We're not sure, right?
As of now, I say he's not playing.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but keep an eye on it.
But we'll see. Yeah.
Matt Forte?
No.
I can't imagine him playing.
We're not sure about Rob Kelly. Jay Ajayi should play, right?
Yes.
Spencer Ware?
I think Spencer Ware will go. I know he got his ribs banged up against Denver, but I think he'll be okay.
Okay. Theo Riddick.
He's been ramping up his practice work. We haven't ranked him yet. That's one to watch. The Lions probably need as many contributors as they can get, and he would help them out. That would be bad, obviously, for Zach Zenner.
Right. A.J. Green against Baltimore.
No, they've already ruled him out.
Okay.
It's over.
Kenny Britt against Arizona.
Doubt it.
Brandon Marshall.
Doubt it.
Cameron Brate.
Didn't rank him. We'll see. We'll see what the week brings. If he practices, then of course.
Jordan Reed.
I doubt it.
I feel like the Redskins could win this game without Jordan Reed, and they can give him another week of rest before going into the playoffs.
Ladarius Green.
Ladarius Green should not play.
Yeah,
that's the perfect case.
Why would he play? Right.
A guy, right. He's not 100%. Pittsburgh has nothing to play for. Why would you even let him in the stadium, put him in a press box or something like that? Maybe a suite, get him some popcorn, some soda, maybe some Charleston Chew, and let him just hang out.
And finally, Tyler Eifert.
He's on injured reserve.
Oh, he's on injured reserve? Okay. Oh, that's right.
He is done.
All right, great. So, if you need a quarterback this week, you can look at Blake Bortles. Bortles is 71% owned, and he is facing the Colts on the road. He scored 29 fantasy points against the Colts. If you need a DST this week, there are so many good options. The Bills are 81% owned. They are at the Jets. The Ravens are at the Bengals. They're 76% owned. They're not playing great lately. Three bad games in a row. Not two of them, New England and Pittsburgh, on the road.
Cincinnati isn't playing great either.
No, they're not, but I probably like other defenses better. Do you like Texans, Packers, Eagles? Who do you like better than I like the Steelers better against the Browns.
Yeah, it depends who the Steelers are playing, though.
I don't really care. They can't sit everyone. And how many sacks have the Chargers had? 9 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable the amount of sacks that get racked up on this Browns team. So I think the Steelers would be one of my top.
Yeah, Steelers are good.
Yeah, they'd be one of my top.
I don't want to downgrade the Steelers, but just got to be careful.
All right. Who? What other DSTs do you guys like?
Raiders,
Redskins
should be very good. Redskins Raiders should be good. Very good. Ravens. You already mentioned Texans.
The thing that makes me nervous about the Raiders is just going on the road.
Yeah, but if they're playing against Paxton Lynch and a banged up Broncos offensive line and a team that's going nowhere,
I just wonder if the Raiders start scoreboard watching and they find out that they're not in the mix. They start to pull guys.
Well, of the teams that...
Wait a minute. Don't they also have to win just to get the division?
Yes.
Yeah, but if they're losing...
So they've got to watch two scoreboards.
If they're losing, and the Chiefs are winning.
And the Patriots are winning.
Patriots game will be over by then.
No. Are you sure?
The Patriots are 4 o'clock.
I think the Patriots moved to 4 o'clock. Yeah.
Oh,
I think the Patriots, the Chiefs, and the Raiders all play at the same time.
Okay,
yeah, but
I'm sorry.
Thing for them that's important.
The Patriots are. I'm looking at the Patriots at 1 right here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right, Adam. They kept the Patriots at 1 because even the important thing for the Raiders is holding off the Chiefs.
Yes.
So that's the big thing for them.
Okay, I thought they were playing at 4, but they kept them at 1.
Yes.
All right. Never mind.
All right. So listen. Your DST rankings, we're just going to skip to the DSTs because that's obviously important. You all have the Seahawks number 1. Are these rankings updated? Yes, they are.
I don't know if Heath's are.
I see yours is updated 40 minutes ago and Dave's 43. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, Seahawks are number one. The Bills are both top five for you guys. The Texans are three for Jamie, ninth for Dave. The Broncos are obviously a pretty good play. Dave has the Broncos 10th. They're beat up, but facing Matt McGloin. Chiefs are a good play. Steelers are sixth for Jamie and fourth for Dave. So basically the Bills, the Steelers, the Texans, these are waiver wire DSTs that you could definitely rely on this week and that we like quite a bit. If you don't get Blake Bortles, you could get Matt Moore, Sam Bradford, Alex Smith, maybe Tony Romo. I had Tyrod Taylor on there because 81% owned is pretty owned. It's you're probably starting your guy, right?
Yeah. This is more two QB leagues.
Right. But who would be your favorite if you couldn't get Bortles? Who would be your favorite from the Moore, Bradford, Smith, Romo group?
Moore,
okay. Moore against New England. And would you start any of them over Phillip Rivers?
No.
I'd start Bortles and Tyrod Taylor over Phillip Rivers, but not Matt Moore.
Bortles and Taylor. All right, let's go to the running backs then. So just to reiterate, D'Angelo Williams, Alex Collins. Jamie prefers Williams. Dave prefers Collins, right?
Correct.
And where is Alfred Blue in that equation?
It goes Williams, Blue, McFadden, Collins.
I've got Collins, Blue, and then I don't have D'Angelo ranked yet. So off the top of my head, he would probably be third ahead of McFadden.
All right, which of those running backs has the most upside, best chance for a huge game this week?
I like D'Angelo Williams the best. I think his matchup against Cleveland is certainly suited for him to do well if he continues to get the workload that he's shown when he started for an injured or suspended Le'Veon Bell. So I think he has the most upside.
And I like D'Angelo Williams, but the opportunity for Alex Collins, if Thomas Rawls is out, is tremendous. There's no other running back in Seattle that's going to take work away from him. And it's San Francisco. It's the worst run defense. Even Todd Gurley lit them up for a big game last week. So I think Alex Collins is who I'd make a beeline for. First, the one thing that worries me about D'Angelo is just how much work is he going to get?
I think just given the track record for the Steelers and how they've used their guys, D'Angelo in the beginning part of the season, Le'Veon the majority of the season, they don't tend to deviate from that. So that's the nice thing about it. I will say this. There are four guys who could potentially be studs for you this week between D'Angelo, Alfred Blue, Darren McFadden, and Alex Collins. I think all have the opportunity in their respective roles and their respective teams that they play for in week 17 to be stars. The thing that concerns me the most about Collins, more so than the other three, would be Thomas Rawls playing and being healthy.
Sure. In
terms of being a pickup. So that's why I have him ranked fourth. I think the Cowboys should absolutely rest Ezekiel Elliott. The Texans made it pretty clear they're going to rest Lamar Miller.
Right.
And there's a report that the Steelers are not going to play at least Ben and Le'Veon Bell, most likely Antonio Brown, because that would be stupid.
Why would they put him out there? Right.
So I think just given the circumstances based on waivers. Now, starting, we could have a different conversation if we get to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, knowing that Rawls isn't playing. Then I think Collins may be better than the bunch.
Yeah, he could be. And the thing that I want to suggest is that you don't need your bench depth anymore. There are so many running backs that you can claim off the waiver wire. Just try and get as many of them as you can, if only to play keep away from your opponent.
Sure.
There might be a case where your opponent has, you know, David Johnson and Jordan Howard, and they're not even going to need a schlub like Alfred Blue.
Right.
But I still think that there's enough there that you should go and load up just so your opponent, in case they have a flex problem or anything like that, play keep away. This is the time to do it. You don't need a lot of the depth on your bench anymore.
What's your guess for the split between Jacquizz Rodgers and Charles Sims?
Probably similar to what we saw last week.
Yeah, Rodgers should have a heavy hand there.
And work at the goal line.
Yep.
Yeah, you could also look at Mike Gillisley, who's actually the most owned of this group, 61% owned. Paul Perkins is 40% owned, but as Jamie mentioned, we don't quite know what his role is going to be. Corey Grant is a Jaguars running back. Maybe he gets a big workload with Chris Ivory's injury. He had 9 carries or 27 yards against Tennessee. He's at Indianapolis. There's Zach Zenner. There's Ronnie Hillman. All right, what do you think about Ronnie Hillman? Can Hillman win you fantasy week against Oakland?
There are just so many other running backs that you'd rather pick up ahead of Hillman.
He's got the Chiefs, by the way.
Oh, he's against the Chiefs. Yeah, against the Chiefs.
That's another reason to not take him. I'll give you a name that we haven't talked up yet is Sean Drone in San Francisco. Nice. He's playing Seattle.
Does he get all the work though?
I think he's going to get the passing downs, and that might be enough for me if I'm desperate. If I'm in a deeper league, I can't, for whatever reason, I can't get my hands on some of these other running backs that we've talked about, then I think Sean Drone is appealing.
Where's Dewan Harris?
He's there. He could, that could be the split.
They're
Harris.
Also probably going to bring back Mike Davis off the practice squad.
Okay.
Yeah, Harris, but is that for depth, or are they really going to give him some work?
Oh, he stinks. I don't know. But it also could be, what do we have?
Well, we do have some good wide receivers. So, Adam Thielen, J.J. Nelson, Pierre Garçon, Marquise Lee. That's Jamie's order. Thielen, Nelson, Pierre Garçon, Marquise Lee. Dave, you like Cameron Meredith better than those guys?
He's ahead of them all.
Who's your second best, Thielen?
Thielen is second best. Lee would be third, and J.J. Nelson after that.
These are good receivers here. You're going to start them over Cooper and Crabtree this week?
Yeah, I don't want to trust Cooper or Crabtree. Denver,
Thielen
tough
for
matchup.
Sure. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Denver's got a tough matchup in McGloin as the quarterback. McGloin's been okay, actually. I don't think he's going to be such a steep downgrade from Carr, but it is a downgrade.
Yeah, I would start Thielen over him, over those guys for sure. Nelson over those guys for sure. Lee over those guys for sure. Garçon over those guys for sure. Not Meredith.
Okay, so you guys do differ there. Kenny Stills is 25% owned, and it does seem like Matt Moore likes him. He led Miami in targets last week. He gets the Patriots, and Eli Rogers is another guy. Eli Rogers against Cleveland, you know, if they don't play Antonio Brown and they do play Eli Rogers a full game, could be a lot of targets for him, right?
That's my thought.
Yeah.
Could be. Could be a lot of targets from Landry Jones, and it could be an offense that might not be very aggressive. Remember, this is just a game that Pittsburgh just has to go out and go through the motions with.
Oh, the Browns!
They might even lose.
The Browns have a lot more at stake here. They don't want to win. I don't know that it really matters getting the number one pick, but they do not want to win. They were gifted with the Niners winning last week, putting them at number one right now. Okay, tight ends. Charles Clay at the Jets. He has scored in three straight games. He had 10 targets. Now, Tyrod Taylor threw a bunch of passes last week. But Clay looks pretty good. Dave, you said you like Dennis Pitta at Cincinnati?
I do. It's a good matchup for him. And when Steve Smith's not getting targeted, I think this is going to be the number two guy.
Okay. Let's think here. Are Clay or Pitta better than a Chargers tight end against the Chiefs?
Yes.
Both of them?
I got Clay. I got Gates ranked higher, but I can see it, obviously. Remember, Gates is one touchdown away from tying Tony Gonzalez.
It's still the Chiefs, though.
For his record.
Yeah, wow, that's got to get that. Is Charles Clay better than Jimmy Graham at San Francisco? Graham's been so bad on the road.
I would roll with Graham. It's a game Seattle needs to win.
Yeah.
And if the run game, for whatever reason, can't get going, then Russell Wilson's going to have to take things into his own hands.
He's also just scored against the toughest matchup on the table.
Yeah, I did. Cardinals, yeah. C.J. Fedorowicz, Vernon Davis, Jesse James. These are other guys. C.J. Fedorowicz at Tennessee, Vernon Davis against the Giants, and Jesse James against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you could rely on those guys. And DSTs, I think we've talked enough about, but we like, this again, the Steelers, the Texans, the Redskins, the Raiders. A lot of good DSTs out there. I don't think I said the Ravens just now, but we do like them. So, kickers, Dustin Hopkins has the Giants, Caleb Sturgis has Dallas, Kai Forbath against the Bears, and just keep weather in mind. We don't know. The weather's been pretty mild, at least in the Northeast, and hopefully we'll have another weekend like we had last weekend where it's not a big deal at all. Emails and tweets. This is from Trey Videos. Trey wants to know if you think Zach Zenner will be Amir Abdullah's backup next season.
He's definitely going to be on the roster when they open training camp.
Well, and Zach Zenner will be Theo Riddick's backup.
It's possible. It's going to be another mix, though. As long as Jim Caldwell's there, and he will, I think you're going to continue to see the Lions use multiple running backs.
This is from Jackie Coley. Week 17, PPR League. Who do you like? Brandon Cooks, Sammy Watkins, or Ty Montgomery?
I got to start one of them?
Yeah. PPR.
Watkins.
I think it's Sammy.
Okay. And Jared Anderson, pick two out of three in a standard scoring league. Demaryius Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald, Sammy Watkins.
I think Sammy is the no-brainer.
Yep. I go Thomas, though.
I think I have Thomas ranked ahead of Fitzgerald.
And then let's finish off with Team Name Tuesday.
It's week 17, dude. People are done naming their teams.
No, these are names that he's actually used.
Who's he?
Sid, from a small town in southwest Kansas, Dave.
Oh, I mean, everybody knows all those great towns in southwest Kansas. I don't have to pick one now,
Heath,
do I?
Heath would know. No, you don't have to. We'll ask Heath. So he thinks he has had some great team names. What can Brown do for you? His championship team in which he drafted Antonio Brown number one. Okay, we've heard that one, Sid. They get better. You messed up, Aaron. Third place team drafted Aaron Rodgers number one in a 2QB league and changed my team name after the week 6 loss to Dallas. That is a good Key and Peele reference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a girly man. He started out, he drafted Gurley in the first round. His team was I'm a Gurley Man, but he changed his team name to I'm Not a Gurley Man after he realized Todd Gurley was a bust. I respect that.
Yeah.
I like that.
He's the bust of the year.
Him or Hopkins? I think Hopkins is a bigger bust.
People took Todd Gurley number one overall. They had their pick of anybody in the National Football League, and they took Todd Gurley. I would have been one of those people.
There were signs of Hopkins being a bust.
Yeah. But
there were signs of Gurley as well, but not to this level.
But he was still consensus. You know what? Let's do it tomorrow. Bigger bust, Hopkins or Gurley? That will be the question.
Just did it.
For tomorrow's show. We look forward to it. We'll talk to you on Wednesday, everybody. Good luck on the waiver wire. Get the guys you want. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.